Hello, Denise. I've written here, those who stayed at home because they knew I was speaking, welcome. I was also, I was going to wear a Superman outfit. My wife told me not to, mainly, I think, because it's a size M. You wouldn't have been able to concentrate on anything else that I said today, so I'll save that one for later. Maybe that's my goal. Good morning. I've written, my goodness, what a week. It's good to be here with you on a good day. It's good to see you. We've had some good weather this week, which has been nice. It's good to just be alive, isn't it? Yeah. Kia ora koutou, no mai, haere mai, ko Jeremy Aho. My name is Jeremy, and... Oh, you're good. I do like to party. It's been a wee while since I've been up here. It's nice to see your faces from here, rather than me being a bit cheeky and saying comments over there. We are currently in a series around the fruit of the Spirit. This is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It describes the character that the Holy Spirit grows in a believer's life. Instead of being driven by selfish desires, the Spirit produces a new kind of fruit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Faithfulness was in there too, I hope that you said that. I said that because I have it here and I didn't want you to be able to see it. Each speaker that's had a chance to get up here has said over and over that these qualities aren't separate achievements. We're talking about them as separate topics, but they are one fruit, singular. It's the natural outcome of life, a life shaped by God's Spirit. And Paul ends by saying this right at the end there, against such things there is no law. Meaning this kind of life fulfills God's heart and goes beyond mere rule-keeping. Now, those of you who often nod off, come back to me later because I've got a few things that I want to show you, but this part I'm doing a bit of talking, so if you miss this, it's all right. Steve already said this, but I'm going to do it, and you're going to do it better than you did. So that was the warm-up. Thank you, Steve. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
Nice.
And in Fiji, they'd say, and getting better. I don't know why they added that bit on the end there, but he is good. For those of you who don't know, I'm speaking about goodness today. Now you do. If I was choosing a fruit of the Spirit to talk on, this would not be it. I quite often say to Colleen, oh, just give me something and I'll work with that. So I got goodness. And the worst part about it is every time I looked in my Bible and I was looking through different commentaries and things, and it always said, refer to kindness. And I was like, no, that's someone else's. So even I sent a message to my dad, and he sent me through some stuff, and it had goodness slash kindness. And my mum was similar as well with the information she gave me. So I had to dig deeper, and I've been doing that. And it's been quite interesting, actually. I've actually really enjoyed. What I have found is how many times we use the word good. Just because, you know, when you're going to buy a car or something, you know the type of car you want to buy every time, you just see it everywhere, right? So because I've been focusing on good and goodness, I've just heard it all the time. We can't help ourselves but say it. Just this week, a couple of things. I don't know if you were here for last week, but Pamela said that when we speak... We live in it, and we feel it, and we sense it, and things happen that relate. And so twice this week, a couple of things happened to me. Once, I was dropping off one of our students in Bishopdale, and there was a man outside the store, and he was sweeping the path, getting ready to open. And he said, Jeremy, was like, oh, I have not seen him since COVID days when he lost his job and a whole lot of stuff went down. And he said, what do you think he said to me? He said, it's good to see you. And he also said, you were so good to me when I was in my role. And that made me go, ooh, because I'm thinking about goodness. And I was like, I wonder if he means good or just good, you know. another time this week, I was asked to give someone a call because they were just going through a bit of a tough time. And when I talked to that person, they said, it's good to hear your voice. And I just went, you know. So what we're going to do is, I'm not sure if I was good in those moments, but I'm just going to take you through some biblical things that I've learnt through going through both the old and the... I took notes from Pamela's talk, so we're going through the Old Testament, the New Testament. What does goodness mean? Here's what I want to say. In Christian theology, goodness is first who God is, not just what humans do. Human goodness is a response. It's formed by God's Spirit rather than achieved by human effort. The word good has lost its punch in our language. I think we'd all agree with that. We call food, movies, even people good. It barely registers anything moral or life-giving anymore. When the Bible uses goodness, it uses it differently. When God calls creation good in Genesis, when Paul lists it as one of the fruit, goodness, it's an active, it's a generous, it's a God-shaped, life-giving word. It's not vague or polite. It's love in action, it's justice in motion, it's mercy in practice. We are called to reclaim this sense of goodness, to let God's Spirit's form in our hearts so that our words, choices, and deeds actually reflect the character of God. That's what this is all about, in a world that often settles for a hollow version of good. How do we look? My daughter's got NCA this year, and I don't know if you realize, but they grade it in good, better, and best. And good is like the minimum requirement. Whereas I don't think that was what God was thinking when he created everything. Oh, yeah, that'll do. So we've lost a bit of that, haven't we? Right, so the meaning. The English word goodness literally means the condition of being good. It's quite simple. Over time, in English, goodness began to carry a moral sense, being of virtuous or upright. But biblical goodness is less about rule-keeping and more about faithful generosity rooted in God's character. We'll see that the Bible often links goodness with generosity, with righteousness, with kindness and mercy, God's blessing and his presence. And it's at the core of what goodness means is fitting and life-giving, where it reflects God's generous character and moves outwards to benefit others. It's not niceness. It's not about morals, not just about morals, but it's love expressed in action, rooted in the goodness of God himself. Right, so let's have a wee look in the Old Testament. The word for goodness and good in the Old Testament is tov, which means in harmony with God. I like that, in harmony with God. Okay, so we're not starting with human behavior, we're starting with God himself, and as I've said, it is used right at the beginning there, isn't it? It appears about 562 times in the Old Testament, and it carries a sense of being well-designed and pleasing, which I also really like. Tov is when it's expressed, God-given, it's about God's given design for life-giving purpose. He made us. He made the whole world. And he made it to support life. The delicate balance of ecosystems, the precise distance the earth is from the sun, the complexity of creation, it all reflects design. And it all speaks of tov. The first time we encounter this word is in Genesis 1. Seven times God declares creation tov. Light is tov. Land and seas are tov. Plants and animals are tov. Humanity is tov. And at the end, God declares it very tov. Creation is tov, simply because it reflects the goodness, the tov, and generosity of its creator. From the very beginning, tov is woven into the fabric of the world. We then see in Exodus 33:19, I was looking this up, Moses asked to see God's glory. And God's response is this: I will cause all of my tov, all of my goodness, to pass in front of you. Do you notice that? God equates his glory with his goodness. How cool. His power is not separated from his mercy. His greatness is revealed in compassion. God's goodness is not abstract or distant. It is personal and relational. It is who he is. It's who he's always been. This goodness is not withheld from us. It's poured out. If we look in the Psalms, it is everywhere. And I'm going to run through this, okay? God is tov. Having life and long life is tov. God's name is, can you say it? Thank you. His loving kindness is? Drawing near to God is? Giving thanks is? Unity, which is one heart, one mind, is? God's spirit is? Nice. We are told to taste and see that the Lord is? Good. When we choose God, we will lack no... He sends blessings of, he makes, follow us, even pursue us all the days of our life. And there is no apart from him. Now, I've just been spending a bit of time in Psalm 107. And I've just, wow. It starts with this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is and what his love endures, just sometimes, no, forever. You see, this psalm, it recounts rescue after rescue after rescue. There's four in there. There's wanderers brought home, there's prisoners set free, there's sick healed, and there's storms stilled. And God's tov moves people towards, it moves towards people in their distress. It restores, it redeems, and it saves. It is really awesome, actually. If you want to be uplifted, read that, because you fit in one of those categories, because I fit in most of them. Then in Micah, and we've been through this, but I love this. We're told what goodness looks like in our own lives. He has shown you what is tov. What is good? It's this, and you know it. We spent a long time going through this book. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. If you want to know what is good and how to be good, there's a great start. God's goodness is not only declared, it's demonstrated. And then it is invited. We're called to reflect his tov through justice, through mercy and humility. And tov becomes a way of life shaped by the character of God. So in the Old Testament, goodness begins with creation. It's revealed in God's glory, it's experienced in his rescue, and it's embodied in the lives that walk humbly with him. The goodness of God is not just a side note in Scripture. It is threaded and running from Genesis all the way through to the prophets. It is foundational for the goodness he now calls forth from us. The question is not whether God is tov, it's whether his tov is being seen in us. Right, let's zoom into the New Testament. Agathosune. In the New Testament, goodness is no longer just described, it's embodied, and it has a face, and his name is Jesus. Now, he tells this beautiful parable that I think is probably the most frustrating parable he tells. It's the parable of the vineyard workers in Matthew 20. And why is it frustrated? Because it's not fair. And I'm sure some of us have wrestled with this. Because the landowner pays those who work 1 hour the same as those who have worked the entire day. I know. You can say, oh yes, Jeremy, I would be happy to see that happen. But I'm telling you right now, if you worked a whole day and you worked hard and it was hot and someone popped in at the end and you got the same money at the end, you would not go home happy. You would be frustrated. You'd be writing an email. I'm telling you right now. It's not fair. And yet, the landowner replies, are you envious because I am good? That word becomes powerful now, doesn't it? The issue isn't about money. It's about the nature of God's goodness. The kingdom of God doesn't operate on a strict calculation. It runs on grace. And N.T. Wright points out, this parable reveals the shocking generosity of God. That goodness is not earned. It's given. And in Jesus, goodness is not measured in fairness. It's measured in lavish mercy. What a beautiful image. And a challenging one. We see this pattern throughout the Gospels. Jesus touches lepers that other people avoid. He forgives sinners that other people condemn. He welcomes children others dismiss. He eats with tax collectors others despise. His goodness moves towards the undeserving. It disrupts entitlement. It unsettles comparison. And ultimately, The cross is the fullest expression of this goodness. Christ gives himself not because humanity earned it, because we definitely didn't, but because God is good. Now this word, agathosune, is the word that Paul uses. And interestingly, it only appears 4 times in the New Testament. In Galatians and Romans and Ephesians and 2 Thessalonians. But each time it's rich. It describes an active moral goodness. A goodness that acts for the benefit of others. It's not just an inward goodness. But it does something. Often includes courage. It's about choosing what's right even when it's costly. Goodness here means a heart aligned with God's character. It means moral integrity empowered by the Spirit. It means generous action towards others. A life that reflects God's goodness. It's not about mere rule keeping. It is the character of God reproduced in his people by his Spirit. God, as usual, sets the pattern. And we see in James 1:17 that every good gift comes from the Father because he's the one who constantly acts for the good of his people. In fact, in Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. Those who love God and called according to his purpose. Goodness originates from God. It flows from him. It is empowered by him in our lives through faith. This means goodness is not passive. It may require confronting injustice, choosing integrity over popularity, hear that, young people, and generosity over self-protection. So, what does it mean for us? Well, this is where I want to show you some things. Actually, hand before you walk out. Can you come and give me a hand with this table? That was good timing, eh? Wow, wow. Welcome my lovely assistant to the... We have to be Be really careful, Hen. Go get your hands right underneath. Okay, about here. Can everyone see that, if that's there? Thanks, Hen. Okay, I've got four jugs here. I've got God's goodness, I've got followers of Christ, it's us, I've got others, and I've got selfishness. I was trying to think of what the opposite of goodness is in the Bible, and I think that's the closest I've come when we're kind of me-focused rather than outward focus. So, we all know that, yeah, I probably pour a lot in there. We've got a bit of that in us. And we know it's in the world, right? We know it's everywhere. Everyone's got a bit of selfishness in them. I'm just going to keep. Give a bit more. What do you think happens if I pour? Oh, you're not going to be able to see. I'll just move God. Thanks, God. He is movable. What do you think will happen if I pour some of this in with God? Will it taint it? Maybe I'll hold it up. Oh no, nothing happens there. That's good. Thank you, God. He is good. Do you want me to do that again? Did you see it? That's what happens when they can't be in the same place. Okay, so here we are. We're a bit messed up. It's what's happened. It's science, Jack. It's science. Yeah. what happens when we live this life of goodness is we it's quite simple really. Yeah. So that's what happens when we're living a life connected to God. We get a bit bubbly too. But our job is to do this, is to pass it on, so that others can also experience the goodness of God, right? Yeah. That's the whole job. Yeah. And then, that's right. Then, when that selfishness comes along and knocking at your door and saying, hey, remember me? It's all about me. Me, me, me. This is what I want us to understand about goodness. So, in Romans 15, verse 14, Paul says, I'm convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. Right? Here, goodness is communal. It shapes how believers instruct, correct, and care for one another. Biblical scholar Douglas Moo, love that last name, explains that goodness here carries a sense of moral excellence combined with the active concern for others. It's not a private thing. It builds up the church. They've got to see it. You've got to show it. You can't just hold on to it. In fact, then it's not goodness at all. It's gone back to selfishness, isn't it? The New Testament scholar Gordon Fee writes, did I just say this? That the fruit of the Spirit describes the character of God reproduced in the life of the believer. Goodness then is not mere decency. It is the visible evidence that God's own character is at work within us. I want to introduce you to someone. I did that so that those who can't see, that's what I did. This guy, who's created by AI, so it's not actually him, but this is a dude called Brother Lawrence. And some of you may have heard of Brother Lawrence before, but he's awesome. Lived in the old 1600s. That's when Ross was a boy. sorry, Ross. He shows us that goodness grows from attention, not achievement. His letters and conversations were all made into a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And I tell you what, it is worth a read. It's very short, but wow, the place he starts and the place he ends up. I'll read what I've written and then I'll... For him, goodness wasn't just being a hero or a public act. It was a quiet fruit of living moment by moment in God's presence. Whether cooking a meal, scrubbing floors, he believed every ordinary task could be an offering of love. How cool. When the heart stays turned towards God, goodness becomes natural, almost unnoticed. Brother Lawrence teaches that goodness is not something we produce by effort, but something that the Spirit forms as we practice awareness, gratitude, and surrender. It's costly, isn't it? In God's presence, impatience softens, self-interest loosens, and generosity emerges without striving. Does anyone want to be in that? I want to be that. It just oozes because of my connection with my Saviour. Generosity emerges without striving. How good. His life reminds us that true goodness is simple, it's steadfast, and it's faithful. It's rooted in love for God and expressed in everyday kindness. It's not flashy, it's not forced, just a life quietly shaped by the goodness of God. Now, in his journal, he gets to a point where he is so connected with God that others are saying that he's glowing. He's glowing with the radiance of God because of the connection he has. I just think, what a beautiful way to live while he's scrubbing floors. People would come from all over the world to see him because of the peace he had. So it's possible. If goodness is spirit formed, then how are we to live? Well, it's quite simply this. We need to act generously, even when it costs us, which generosity does. We need to speak truth graciously, not harshly. We need to pursue justice, especially for the vulnerable. We need to forgive and reflect the mercy we've received. And we need to live with integrity even when unseen. Goodness shows up in boardrooms and kitchens, in church leadership and quiet conversations. It is practical. It is embodied. And praise God that we are not left to do it on our own. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit as our guide. And God's tov will pursue us as we pursue him, because surely his tov and mercy will follow us all the rest of our lives. Right, we're just coming into communion. And I hope are you still with me? Anyone nod off? Anyone? No, no. Good, good to hear. Didn't hear any random snores. That's always a good one, isn't it? We come into communion. Last week, Pamela just mentioned John 15, and I was just like, oh, that's good. I hope she doesn't keep talking about it. And she just, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I did. And I was like, oh, I love John 15. When we lived in Fiji, that was kind of the passage that spoke to me as I lived in this jungle. And for a number of years, I spent just reading it. The thing I love about John 15 is the image here is one that, it's the only one I can see of the Trinity and us. It's just such a beautiful image. We've got the gardener, that's God the Father. And what does a gardener do? Prunes, yep, looks after the garden, fertilizes, waters, covers if need be, prunes, you've said, everything. The gardener does everything. In this image, who is the vine? Jesus, right? The true vine. It starts with that. This is one of the beautiful things about it. He's the vine. So you've got this gardener who is caring for this vine, spending all his time developing, growing, watching, waiting to a vine. Where do we come in? What are we? We're the branches. Did you say we're the Grinch? We're the branches. Cut these off my vine this morning, and you can tell it's overgrown. Not a good gardener at my house. God would be much better. So we are the branches connected to the vine, and here's the beautiful part, is the Spirit is what? The fruit. This is what we've been talking about. But the Spirit's not just the fruit. The Spirit is the life. The Spirit is everything that creates growth, that comes from the ground, that comes from the sky, everything around it, the oxygen, the Spirit is there and present. And we see the goodness of that come through in the fruit. It's this beautiful image. A couple of things I wanted just for you to note before you take communion this morning. One is, the Greek word here for cuts off is ario. And when I used to read this, I'd just be like, no, don't cut me off, don't cut me off. And I'd be like focusing on that so much. You know, I'd read, oh, here's this beautiful image of a garden. And then, wah! It's like, oh. Ario also means to lift up. And here's the thing about my vine at home, is most of these are doing this. They're on the ground, crawling along there. The fruit may be produced. I mean, this is not going to end up with much, is it? But it may be produced, but the gardener's not going to be happy with that fruit. It's going to be eaten by the bugs. It's going to be sitting in the dirt. And I wonder if some of us just need to be lifted up, because a good gardener would run it along the fence, right? Get it off the ground. So I don't know if that's you this morning and you just need lifting up. Maybe it's time to get up. The other thing I wanted to add in here is, and it talks about this in John 15, the whole way through. It says, remain in me. Remain in me. Stay connected. Because if you're not connected, you're no good. These are already looking horrible. They were bright and wonderful. One of the things I love about this church is the floral arrangement, and I'm gonna say this, and please don't hurt me. These flowers look beautiful, but in not too long, they will not look beautiful because they are no longer connected to the source. And I love flowers. I got my wife some flowers yesterday. I hope you did, husbands. But they will die as soon as they are chopped from that connection point. Jack, did you not get Shantae flowers? Okay. All right. Anyway, if anyone wants a long story, you're going to have to run out of the church today. Lift it up. It's good. Flowers that are not connected to the source will die. Vines that are not connected, oh, look at me, I'm going to be great, wither, wither. No good. This fruit is not, it's not even going to go beautifully purple. It is done. There is nothing I can do now for that fruit to be any good. Stay connected. And the last thing is, the fruit is not for us. The fruit is not for us. It's for the gardener. We're just a branch. If we stay connected, the fruit is produced not because of us either. We don't have to do it. We have to be connected. Read your word. We used to sing a song on Fiji. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow. It's really simple. Read your word. Get stuck in, stay connected. And the fruit is produced. Brother Lawrence didn't do anything special. He just loved hanging out with God. Why can't we do this? It's not hard. It's not difficult. Remain in Him. Oh, the fruit is for others to see. It's for others to taste and go, oh, this is tov. They probably won't say that. this is good. Wow. What are you doing? What's different? You've got the same stuff going on. You've got the same stuff going on, and yet here you are. How? I don't understand. Well, let me tell you, I am connected to the vine. That's how. So, as you take communion this morning, and we're going to wander up, you're going to have to get out your seats. I'm not sorry about that. I didn't choose it either. You're going to have to get out your seats. And I just want to encourage you to think about those things. Are you connected? Do you need lifting up? Do you think the fruit's for you? Are we reflecting God's goodness? The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance for me." And whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He continues. You are reconnecting, being grafted back into the vine every time. So we'll do that now. Come up when you're ready. Set up tonight.